In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
News, traffic, and the latest from the world of sports. This is Rush Hour Sports on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Welcome in. It is Rush Hour Sports right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. We've got Nate Gatter in today, which is great. Kevin Wheeler, he got his Thanksgiving vacation started a little bit early, and that's okay. And it's good to see Nate Gatter, who does a great job when he's filling in here. Nate, we haven't done a lot on air together outside of some soccer stuff, so it's good to see you.
I was just going to say that. I can't think of the last time off the top of my head that you and I, outside of, you know, I'm a guest on your shows from time to time, and sometimes when I'm filling in during the day, you'll have your scheduled shot, your scheduled slot in there as a guest. But I can't remember the last time that you and I hosted a show together, start to finish. It might have been all the way back to like the early St. Louis City days.
It might have been, and I'm glad to be able to do this with you. For those of you who don't know, Nate, in addition to filling in here, he is the lead college football voice for Westwood One Sports, does a lot of things. He's fantastic, and I'm glad we're able to talk a little bit. We're going to spend most of the day today going through the news of the day, and that's that the Cardinals pulled off a trade, the first move made by Heim Bloom in his era of Cardinals baseball, and interestingly enough, he pulls it off with his former team, Sonny Gray, goes to the Boston Red Sox. Richard Fitz comes back, a guy who pitched a little bit in the big leagues this past year, had mixed results, and then a young lefty in Brandon Clark, who is going to comes in as a top 10 prospect, ranked number 7 according to MLB Pipeline in the Cardinal organization. He'll hit 97, 98. He can touch 100 if you need him to. He strikes a bunch of guys out. So an interesting trade made. So I'll start with this for you, Nate. When you saw this move today, what's the initial reaction from you?
I think it's two things. Well, first of all, you know, it's just one that had to happen, right? And probably it's a relatively short list of teams. I guess I don't know how short it was, but presumably it's not an endless list of teams that Sonny Gray would waive his no trade clause to go to. So, you know, you have to get it done, and there's already going to be that kind of obstacle to overcome in finding the right partner that's going to be agreeable, not just to the two teams, but also to Sonny Gray. The Cardinals get some real value out of it. They save, as it turns out, with the reworked contract, somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million. The part that maybe stands out to me the most, and I mentioned this on with Dave Glover earlier this afternoon, is that the Cardinals, who are often criticized, I think often with good reason, for being unwilling to spend the kind of money that some of their competitors are these days, essentially spent $20 million here to buy a couple of players in return. Because I certainly they're not getting Clark, and they're probably not getting Fitz either if they're not kicking in the $20 million that they're reportedly sending to the Red Sox as part of the trade.
Yeah, a few things here. First off, you mentioned the $20 million, and there's two ways to look at it. There's the way to look at it is it's $20 million they're not spending, or it's $20 million that they're spending for a guy who's not going to be pitching. I think you can look at it both ways. You can look at it in the sense that they wanted to take payroll down and they were able to do it. But you can also look at it as a lot of people are critical of the DeWitts about not willing to eat money and spend money and all that sort of thing. They're doing that. This is something that's not Cardinal-like, where they are spending $20 million to send somebody away. I actually asked Heim Bloom this question during the Zoom press conference today, how much of it is, if there's a choice between spending more money, sending more money with Gray and getting a lesser return versus giving more money and getting more of a return, where do you go? I didn't ask it in that exact way, and I didn't get that exact answer, but they made it very clear that the organization and the DeWitts are supporting him in doing what they feel like needs to be done to get the best return possible.
It's interesting, too. You know, we've talked about at some length, I think, the last couple of months, maybe even longer than that, on these airwaves about the fact that Heim Bloom is coming into a situation where we don't have an accurate perception of which of these guys he on the Cardinals roster, we mean, he's interested in, which he's not, right? This is a roster he is inheriting. He's had a limited role in building it over the last year, let's say. But outside of this most recent draft, he hasn't had much of a hand in building the major or minor league rosters for the Cardinals. So we don't know how he evaluates these guys relative to John Mozeliak, relative to how Randy Flores evaluated them, any of those guys. He has a new perspective. That applies outside, too. And so you mentioned making a deal with his former team. It's interesting that he dips into, you know, goes over to the Red Sox in making this deal. Now, the Red Sox didn't draft Fitz, and they would have drafted Clark after Heim Bloom had already left Boston.
Yeah, and Fitz was in the Verdugo trade, which was made by Breslow. So that's a great point by you, that neither of these players they're getting were acquired by Heim in Boston.
Right. But nonetheless, sort of, it will be interesting to see where he targets players and along the lines of how he feels and how his perceptions are. Maybe it's more interesting as this offseason goes on, does he dip into any non-obvious trade candidates, right? We always expected Sonny Gray was likely to go. We still expect Nolan Arenado overwhelmingly likely to go. If he dips into that next group of guys, where does he go? Is he more likely to go for Jordan Walker, for Alec Burleson, for Nolan Gorman? Is it somebody else that we're not even, is it a Lars Nootbaar who has been talked about a little bit at times? Could he totally go off the wall and surprise us with a name that we haven't talked about at all? You know, we're going to learn a lot in the next, or at least some, in the next couple of months about how Heim Bloom feels about the current Cardinals roster.
Yeah, I don't know what the unexpected group is, though, because you just said, does he dip into that? I don't think they're going to trade Mason Winn. And outside of that, like I'm not convinced there's anybody else on the roster that I don't think they.
That's
would
a want, fair point. You're saying there's really nobody right. But Mason Winn who would shock anyone.
Yeah, I guess Michael McGreevy would surprise me. They've put a lot into his development. He's a young, controllable pitcher. To a certain extent, Matthew Liberatore probably the same thing. But yeah, if they trade Alec Burleson, if they trade Nolan Gorman, if they trade any of these guys, Jordan Walker probably not, because it'd be such a sell-low situation. He's literally been one of the worst major league players for the better part of the last 2 years. You're not getting the upside on him is so much better than what you're going to get for him right now. So that would be the only reason that would surprise me. But if there is a team out there that see the underlying numbers on Walker and are convinced that they can turn him into that, so they make you an offer. Like I don't think there's anybody that would be really that surprising outside of the few I listed.
No, that's a fair point. And we do have a little bit of a window, and we talked about this in the middle of the summer when the draft happened. We do have a little bit of a window into what kind of talent, especially what kind of minor league talent, to the extent that he's going to be acquiring young, unproven guys, Heim Bloom is going to be targeting, because we felt, especially with the pitchers, that there was a pretty clear line in terms of the kind of upside that he was chasing in the draft, and the kind of upside that, frankly, he probably thought was somewhat lacking in the Cardinal system based on the kind of players that they had prioritized over the last half decade, let's say, of the Mozeliak reign.
Upside's the key word there, because, and something that Kevin and I have talked about a lot lately, unfortunately, there's a lot of, I think, unhinged social media commentary out there that's just raising the perceived value of certain players. Like Brendan Donovan's your best trade piece. I don't think he's bringing in a top 100 level prospect. And if it is, it's on the very, very low end of the top 100. There's only a handful of can't miss prospects out there. So for me, and why I like this trade today, and especially when it comes to the young lefty Brandon Clark, you have to bring in as many guys into the organization as possible that have high ceilings that they may or may not reach. And I'm talking about high ceilings. I'm really talking for pitchers. I'm talking about swing and miss stuff. And this Clark kid, over his minor league career, 60 strikeouts in 38 innings. And he can touch 100 if you need him to. So he's got the ability to strike guys out. If you're not going to bring in can't-miss prospects, because teams don't trade away can't-miss guys, that just doesn't happen in today's baseball, you have to collect as many guys that if they reach their potential, they've got the opportunity to be something special, and then you don't have to hit on all of them. If you just hit on half of them or hit on a handful of them, then that's going to be the start of being able to lift your major league roster where maybe you get some elite players on it.
To that point, the obviously the ding on Clark is that he struggled with his command and that he has those high walk numbers. I don't know that Heim Bloom really cares that much about how many guys he's walking in A-ball. If you didn't have those high walk numbers, if his control were impeccable, he wouldn't be available, right? Then we'd be talking about right. A guy who's a top 50, a top 20, a top 10 prospect in baseball, and he's not available to go and trade for. So you get the guys that you can get. And to that point, I think it's fair to say that, especially if he's trading for a guy at the stage of his career that Clark is, that Heim Bloom's philosophy very, very clearly has been communicated as, we're thinking about how high is the upside, not how low is the downside. If there's a chance that this guy never becomes a major leaguer or gets to the major leagues and can't hit the broadside of a barn, we're willing to take on that risk and more if it means that there's a scenario where this guy develops into an all-star and we paid a relatively low price to acquire him.
It also helps because you bring in two guys. One of them, who we just talked about, Clark, is he didn't pitch above single A this past year, but they've talked about wanting to have as much controllable big league pitching as possible. You bring in a Richard Fitz, who has been in the big leagues, not a ton of experience in the big leagues, but he has pitched in the big leagues. He's got 15 appearances, 14 starts. You would think he's going to be earmarked for the starting rotation this upcoming season. So they're really able to accomplish two things. They bring in the guy who's got the super high ceiling. You don't know if he's going to reach it. And then they bring in somebody who can help right away.
Yeah, the upside to me of, I guess I shouldn't use that word because we've already defined it in a different way earlier in the segment, but the benefit of having a season like we anticipate the Cardinals having, where they're not spending every single day thinking, how can we get from here to the playoffs, where they're thinking more about development and more about evaluation, is you can afford to hand the ball to a guy like Fitz 30 times and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And see what version of him do you get in August and September after he gets 25, 30 major league starts under his belt. And I think there's a real intrigue in that. Now, it's maybe a little bit more for the sicko than for the casual fan, the type of person who wants to watch every game and make their own evaluations and see how that roster develops. What I'm excited about is that I think this is a step in getting more serious. It's going to feel to some people like a rerun of 2025. Like they're hearing a lot of this messaging about runway and about evaluation and about finding the right spots for this younger talent and building a way for the roster to fit together. It feels like they're getting real about it. It feels like now we're hopefully going to see Heim Bloom take much more tangible steps in that direction. And if a teardown or a partial teardown is necessary in order to create the vacuum into which the Richard Fitzes of the world can get their opportunity to grow, then that's what it's going to take.
I want to jump off that a little bit more. It's a really interesting point by Nate Gatter. I'm Matt Pauly. We'll take a break, and we'll continue on in just a moment as we're going through all aspects of the Sonny Gray trade from today. We're back with more in just a moment. It's Rush Hour Sports on KMOX.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This is Rush Hour Sports on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Rush Hour Sports rolls on right here on KMOX. Kevin Wheeler out this week. He's got the entire week off for the Thanksgiving holiday. We'll have a few different people in throughout the course of the week today. Very happy to be able to work with Nate Gatter. We're continuing to talk through the trade that the Cardinals announced earlier today. Sonny Gray goes to Boston. Richard Fitz, who's probably going to be in the big league rotation this upcoming season, comes back. And then Brandon Clark, who's a year or two away, did not pitch above the single A level this past year. He comes back as well. He's been slotted in as number 7 on the Cardinals prospect list, according to MLB Pipeline. Nate, you said something interesting in our last segment, and in many ways, it almost retroactively feels like this past season of Cardinals baseball, they really didn't accomplish what they would have liked to accomplish from a runway standpoint and all that, because now they were clearly in a rebuild, but not fully in it. Now it feels like they're actually in it, and you kind of openly wonder, would they be a year further along had they done some of this stuff 1 year ago?
Matt, I've said this many times. I think as a fan, the most important thing is to feel like your team has a direction and has a clear one and is committed to it. I felt that the Cardinals acted like they had a direction this past year and didn't consistently take steps to actualize it. What's frustrating about that, and what's sort of a sign of it or evidence of it, is that I don't feel we know that much more about the Cardinals now than we did before the season started. There are relatively few players who I feel we learned a lot about during last season. What's the point of runway if we get to the end of the season and we're like, basically the same roster, pretty much the same information? And I'm not going to say that doesn't mean they didn't learn anything about anybody. There, you make some progress in any given year. But to your point, it's not like, all right, well, this feels like a 3-year rebuild and 1 year's down. This feels like a team that's still deciding if the rebuild's going to start, and if so, what it's going to look like and how long it's going to take and what is the runway, for lack of a better word, on that rebuild. And now, today, the Sonny Gray trade is the first real declaration of kind of a flag plant of the rebuild starting, and it's going to happen for real, and we're going to see how the rest of the offseason goes in determining whether that's likely to be a 1 or 2 or 4 year type of process. I would assume they're not going to be comfortable saying openly they think it's going to be a 4-year deal. That's not the type of thing
happens. Well, they still won't call it a rebuild, and that's fine. That's fine, but it is a rebuild.
That's I think what I'm saying is I'm so much less concerned with what they call it than I am with what they do.
Right.
And last year it felt like they were not going to use the word rebuild, but they were very comfortable saying, this is a different season than we've had in the past. This is not a season where the end-all be-all is making the postseason. They were pretty comfortable and open about that, and then they didn't really do a whole lot to effectuate that position. And I think what we're already seeing is Hein Bloom coming in and taking action toward the end game, toward and setting that direction and following it with more authority. And that's one of the things that probably is born out of the advantage he got from having a year to familiarize himself as much as possible with the organization at the major league level and at the minor league levels, and really have a time to make a plan and know what he wanted to do when he got in charge. There are probably times last season when he was sitting there itching a little bit, thinking, I might handle this situation a bit differently if I had the big chair already. Now he does, and it hasn't taken him long to make a pretty significant move.
I think I agree with everything you just said. I think it is worth noting they did learn some things this past year. I think you learned something with Matthew Liberatore. That's probably the greatest example. We're going to take a guy who's been a reliever, who before the season got started, the most sure thing was he's going to help you the most out of the bullpen. And they said, that be darned, we're going to put him in the rotation and see how it goes. And that worked out well. I think we learned something about Alec Burleson, where now we can view him as somebody who this team, he can be a key part of this team with what he was able to do during the year. Ivan Herrera was certainly trending in that direction, but giving him the opportunity that they gave him this year. But the two guys that we talked about over and over and over again going in this past year were Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker. And maybe we did learn about Walker that he's just not somebody that you can trust yet. But when it came to Gorman, he was never given the Matthew Liberatore treatment where you're just going to put him in a spot and leave him there. And now it almost feels like that could be what happens this year with Gorman, that you're going to go into the season and he's going to be the third baseman. And this is finally going to be the Gorman runway season, which should have been last year.
That's a good point, is that maybe my issue, and this is one of the reasons that I felt that a lot of the criticism directed toward Ollie Marmol was sort of misdirected. It wasn't unreasonable. It was just pointed in the wrong direction. Because what's he supposed to do, right? He's only got 9 spots on the lineup card every day. He can't put every guy that they want to give runway in the lineup every day. And the answer to me was that they just had too many redundancies on their roster last year. And I understand it's not as simple as press a button and get rid of that. But in retrospect, I wonder if John Mozeliak could have done a little more last offseason to try to clear out some of that roster clog and create a situation where Nolan Gorman could play every day or close to every day without taking at bats away from somebody that you really wanted to have in there, either because of wanting runway for that guy or because of just wanting to, you know, try to be as competitive as possible, right? Obviously, they're not taking at bats away from Brendan Donovan to put Nolan Gorman in the lineup. That's not a reasonable request. The fact, you know, maybe John Mozeliak would say, well, I had that Astros deal done and It all fell apart. And that's probably part of it.
No, it's absolutely part
because
of it.
Arenado moving to Houston when that trade was agreed would have helped the Cardinals considerably last year, I think, in terms of just opening up some of those at bats and getting rid of some of that roster clog. And it's unfortunate, I think, for all parties that didn't happen. I imagine if Nolan Arenado had it to do over again, he would probably take that deal.
That's Nate Gatter. I'm Matt Pauley. You are locked into Rush Hour Sports. We're talking through the Sonny Gray trade. Back with more in a moment on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rush Hour Sports continues on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It's Rush Hour Sports here on KMOX. That's Nate Gatter. I'm Matt Pauly. Kevin Wheeler's got the week off. If you want to chime in on anything, feel free to leave a comment for those of you who are watching on the video chat. And you can also text in at 314-436-7900. We'll do this for about another 20 minutes or so, and then I've got a full sports open line coming up this evening. We're going to talk with Chris Cotillo today at about 6:20. He's a Red Sox beat writer for Mass Live, and he'll give us the Boston side of things on what the Cardinals are getting back. Our friend Corey Miller from Channel 5 will join us. And also, if you missed it, we ran much of the press conference here on KMOX. We didn't run the whole thing. Chaim Bloom did meet with the media today via Zoom. I went through much of it and pulled out cuts, and we'll play back much of what Chaim Bloom had to say. We'll do that during Sports Open Line as well. So that's all coming up later on today. I am curious, Nate, because Chaim today spoke very openly about the fact that if they are presented two pathways, and one pathway presents a better team next year, and one pathway presents a better team for multiple years down the road, they are going down the pathway of the better team down the road. And moving on from Gray, and they'll add a starting pitcher at some point. I actually would contend that they'll probably, whoever is their opening day starter, I don't think is on the roster right now. I think they're going to bring in somebody, maybe not to the level of Gray, but who kind of gets slotted in as their number one starter. But it is very clear that this is a team that right now is more focused on what it's going to look like in years to come.
What makes you think that they're likely to bring in a guy who they would slot over Liberatore for opening day?
Just based off what they talked about a little bit today, Chaim spent a lot of time. He said, he was asked very directly, I wish I remember who asked the question, I don't. He was asked very directly, do they feel like there's a void there at the top of the rotation with a veteran starter? And I believe his line was, that is something that we have spent a lot of time discussing. And I don't always get it right when I read between the lines, but as I read between the lines today from Bloom, I thought he was saying that they do have an intention of bringing in a veteran starting pitcher who likely would be essentially their number one.
So what you're saying is Cardinals opening day starter Eric Fetty.
No, I'm not saying that. Miles Michaelis. Clearly Miles Michaelis will be brought back. No, I don't know who it's going to be. There's some... I think whoever it ends up being, they want controllable assets. I don't see this team going out and signing a veteran pitcher for a one-year deal just so they can have a veteran in the rotation. So that's where it gets kind of interesting, because I know there's going to be people who say, well, give me an example. Who are you talking about? And a lot of the veterans, like Kevin all the time talks about Dustin May. Well, Dustin May is coming off a not-so-great season. He's kind of a reclamation project. So you probably don't bring in him saying he's going to be the number one. A guy I'm sort of interested in is Alek Manoah, because if you bring him in, he spent this entire past year rehabbing. He still has another year of club control beyond this year. He was just non-tendered. But if you bring him in, you get 2 years of control no matter what. But you don't bring him in to be your top of the rotation guy. So I don't know what the answer is. I just feel like they do want somebody to not replace Sonny Gray, but to take his spot, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I wonder, I don't know. It just, again, I would be very, very careful about anybody who's going to come in and take innings. The good news is they have room in their rotation to do that without affecting people's runways. The other thing is, I wouldn't have probably even gone down this road at all before the trade today if they're showing an indication to spend a little bit of money in exchange for acquiring quality young players, whether that means very young major leaguers with a lot of control or minor leaguers, you know, maybe that does open the door to an older veteran player who's coming in on just a one-year deal as a starting pitcher, but you're thinking, well, now this is a guy where if we really exceed expectations, maybe he's a useful piece to have, or more likely, if he puts together a good first half of the season, we're flipping him at the deadline, we're saving, you know, a third of what we were going to pay him anyway, and we're pocketing a good young player or two in exchange who we couldn't have just gone out and bought with that money. We had to kind of launder them into the organization by spending the money to acquire a player who we could then trade.
Right. Yeah. This is one of those situations where you wish you had more of an idea of what their plan was. Because Heim said today they are going to go out and acquire players. They're not running away. And to me, I think they're going to be involved in free agency. There's people who are pushing back on the idea that they'll be active in free agency. I think they're going to bring in free agents. I just don't know what that looks like. And is it, you know, the Pirates are a team that love to go bring in that veteran guy and then sell him off at the deadline. I have a hard time totally believing that the Cardinals this year, I don't think that should be their focus. Like, I don't think they're going to bring somebody in with the idea that if it goes well, they're going to be able to trade them off at the deadline. I think their focus and their intent is somewhere else going into the season.
Be interesting, too, to that point, if they were going to try to kind of split the baby and do a little bit of that, probably the easiest place to do it is in the bullpen with, like, sure, where guys are just more willing to sign those kind of short-term deals. So I wonder if we'll see them do a little bit of that, too, because it does seem to me like you're talking, and accurately so, about how unwilling teams are to part with prospects for the most part now. Like, you know, you can't just spend money to go acquire prospects, right? Like, that's one area where dollars aren't going to be enough, and so you kind of need that middle step. And it also is, you know, I don't know how much Heim will want to do that as compared to making these kinds of moves in the offseason, right? I would imagine, this is not a commentary on him, I don't know anything about how he approaches this, but I would imagine if I were in that position and making these extremely important decisions with the future of a franchise in my hands, I'd kind of rather make those moves in the offseason than have a ticking clock on me the week or the day of the deadline, and we're all kind of scrambling to try to get the best deal we can for this asset that feels like if we hold on to him past the deadline, is going to be worth nothing to us because we're losing him for free at the end of the year. I'd like to be able to do that in a more measured, level-headed way, sleep on it a couple of times, make a deal in November, rather than feeling the pressure to do it in that kind of time-pressured environment of July.
Although, at times, what you're going to get back at the trade deadline is going to be the greater return. And I would also say this, when you look at the last 2 years, the Cardinals brought in Andrew Kittredge. What happens? He went out, signed a big contract, made lots of money. Then this past year, they signed Phil Maton late. What happens? He just signed a 2-year deal with the Cubs and makes lots of money. I do think the Cardinals can be a place for some of these guys to feel like if they come in, especially from a relief pitching standpoint, that if the Cardinals are not competing, they could get flipped to a place where they are competing at the end of the year, and that can also turn into more money in the next offseason. So there is some value, I think, for coming to the Cardinals, especially from a relief pitching standpoint.
The difficulty that the Cardinals, I think, are going to have with that is not so much a baseball conversation, more about a branding conversation and a business conversation, is I think you're right about that. I wouldn't think the Cardinals, I assume the reaction of folks who hear us say something like that, like, well, the Cardinals can be a great place for a guy to come in and fix himself and then go sign with the Cubs for a bunch of money. You know, there's some stomachs are turning over hearing that. And you can only do that for so long before, I mean, they've already lost a lot of goodwill in this market. There's no question about that. That's maybe the one thing everybody in St. Louis could agree on when it comes to the Cardinals, is the brand is in a very different place than it was a few years ago. And that's something they're going to have to deal with. You go through another couple of years of dealing with fans feeling like the you're almost serving as a farm system for other major league teams, which I'm not saying that that's what their mindset is. But if you're bringing in a reliever on a short-term deal and part of the pitch is we're going to give you innings and then you can go sign a big contract with a division rival, not that specifically it has to be the Cubs, but you get what I'm saying. Like that just feels like another thing that's going to rub a lot of fans the wrong way. And again, they're never going to say it out loud. I hope for the Cardinals' sake, as much as we're praising them for picking a direction, even if that direction is the rebuild, I hope for their sake it doesn't stretch to 3 and 4 years, because every year feels like it's something that's going to take a significant effort to get back. Like the damage that can be done can happen so much more quickly than the work to get it back can be done.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be that long. I really don't. But we'll have a better idea of that after this upcoming season certainly goes through and we see some of these players continue to come to fruition. One more break. We'll come back. We're going to step away from baseball for just a moment. Nate's here, so we got to talk some Mizzou football. I'm going to ask him to give us an Eli Drinkwitz prediction. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. This is Rush Hour Sports on KMOX.
This is Rush Hour Sports on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Just a few minutes left here on the program alongside Nate Gatter. I'm Matt Pauly. Thanks so much for being tuned in. It is Rush Hour Sports right here on KMOX. Before we get out of here, we've been talking all baseball. We're going to jump right back into baseball during Sports Open Line. But Nate, Mizzou had has had an interesting go at it here recently. Tough loss this past weekend. We're still waiting on the Lane Kiffin news, which is going to come out after the Egg Bowl this weekend between Ole Miss and Mississippi State. But you're so connected to Mizzou. What's your gut saying? Is Eli Drinkwitz going to be back next year?
For a while, I was thinking no. For a while, I thought he was going to be ready to cash in, and he was going to be somebody's second or third choice, mm-hmm. whether that was going to be Penn State or Florida. I didn't think LSU was likely just because I figure that whether it's second, third, fourth choice, whatever it is, I figure John Sumrall at Tulane is probably higher on their list than Eli Drinkwitz, and he would take the job. So LSU, I didn't think was likely. But one of those three, that he would be somebody second or third and that he would end up he would take a job if offered. Now it seems less likely just because Mizzou has had this slide and kind of disappointing second half of the year that they've had, which again is mostly not his fault. Most teams in college football would not do well losing their top two quarterbacks. That's just a reality of the situation. There's this curators meeting coming up tomorrow afternoon. I think it's at 3:00, which is a little bit interesting. Normally people with that kind of stature don't meet the afternoon before Thanksgiving. Yeah. Hopefully for Mizzou fans, that's news of an Eli Drinkwitz extension that's going to pretty much assure him staying in Columbia at least for one more year, and we'll see where we go beyond that. I feel a little bit for him. I don't think he's a perfect coach, certainly not in games. I don't think their execution is always perfect. I think their discipline is often lacking in big games. They play like a team that hasn't been there before too often. At the same time, he's been put in such a difficult situation this year, and this is just a situation where Mizzou should have been better and things didn't work out their way this year, and I don't think it's fair to crucify him for that.
Enjoyed the conversation. Hopefully we can do this again at some point.
Yeah, once in a while, huh?
Yeah, that's good. That's Nate Gatter. Again, coming up, we've got Sports Open Line beginning after the 6:00 news. Chris Cotillo is going to join us at 6:20. We'll talk a little hockey with Amy Marks, of course, today. Corey Miller from Channel 5. You'll hear from Heim Bloom as well. That's all coming up during the 6:00 and 7:00 hours right here on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.